Dr. Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Yeah. Yeah. Feel that. The thing about hitting the post is it's more of a gift. It's more of an art.
It's more of an annoyance now because I know it's going to come out of your mouth every time after you hit one.
Well, because the clock is ticking on being able to impress anybody with that. 5 years, nobody will care. 5 years, 10, it'll be like telling people in radio, I can splice with tape and a razor blade. No one cares. I know how to build carts. No one. Who can you impress with that? Basically just Clyde and Tim. Clyde and Tim and Bruce and like one 65-year-old consultant who lives somewhere. That's it. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. I went over to the other side of the building, by the way, to try to find out why one of our employees is walking around wearing a green leotard and wings, but to no avail. I think we might have actually just imagined her. or she just flitted off somewhere. So there you go. Here's what's coming up. Bottom of the hour, CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy, for whom we have a new theme. He'll be here. We're going to talk about the blah, 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 Da Vinci Code. But also, what's his name? The guy in New Orleans got reelected, the mayor, who apparently, I mean, I guess the word now is that the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, and Howard Dean were actively working to defeat him behind the scenes. So there you go. So that's all shocking and scandalous. But more importantly, they're still digging up land behind a barn looking for the decomposed body and bones of Jimmy Hoffa. So we'll talk to him about that as well. What else? Peter Carlin's going to be here to talk about The Sopranos. Top five songs from May 18th, 1980. We'll have The Week in a Geek. Etc., etc. Like us at 3 World Famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, in studio, live for the first time in our brand new location, will you please welcome the one and only original Harry Scary Guy, Clyde Lewis. How are you, sir?
I want to tell you that...
You look fantastic, by the way.
Well, thank you.
You look great.
Thank you.
You got your whole... Clyde has got this whole... He's got like a pinstripe, kind of black suit, spectacle...
And glasses.
...thing going on. You look all scrubbed and whatnot.
And he has
all
like scrubbed. An assistant standing outside. He's
yeah.
kind of freaking me out.
Seriously, you got
yeah.
like a woman in a power suit behind you carrying your papers.
Oh, yeah. She's great.
Yeah.
Sadie, she's awesome.
Good times. How are you?
Really good. In fact, I got some pixie dust from Tinker Bell and a good smile and a hello, so I think I'm in.
Did you see her?
Oh, yeah. I talked with her, made a little conversation with her, see if she was hanging out later somewhere, maybe go to Neverland with her or something.
Okay.
You know how
it is. So now, shouldn't you be molding the minds of the young right now in Beaverton?
Maybe. It's not really the young. We are a second chance college, so basically a lot of people. I mean, one time I did a phone call with
second
one of the
chance.
Students. Yeah, we are. One of the students, she was like 70 years old, and she goes, I'm 70 years old, and I went... And I live in Dunsmuir, California. You don't even know where that is. I says, believe it or not, I do. I was stuck in Dunsmuir for
now,
like...
You say a second chance college. Is that like a second chance high school? Because that
yeah.
was just for kids that
well,
sniffed
like
all the paint thinner.
Or the girls that got embraced.
Girls that got in trouble.
Well, what it is, you see, the college I work at is American Intercontinental University. And what it is it's a university for people who, you know, went to college, that can't go to college because it's, you know, they can't travel.
Yes.
Or they're stuck, or they have a kid or something. And so they can go to school by just calling, and we interview them, and then we do what is called a qualitative interview. We interview them, talk to them, help them get into school, and then they basically do it online, and it's convenient, and they get it done in like 30
minutes. Do you work for school, or do you work for a company that represents a lot of schools?
I work for a company that represents a lot of schools.
Okay.
So I am an advisor, but...
Do you ever try to slip in like a little ground zero stuff when you're talking? Do you ever like a backward message or like a...
Anyone ever recognized your voice?
Actually, some guy in Chicago did, yeah.
Did you ever get the...
He asked me, he says, are you the same? I go, yeah.
Did you ever go, so we're going to go ahead and enroll you? We're all doomed. In the, you just try to like, you know.
No, I don't do that. I have to keep that away.
All right. Before we talk, we got all this crap to get through, but before we do anything else, so you're going to be, the History Channel is going to be doing a thing on you,
yeah,
right? Or they're going to be filming you?
Yeah, 10 Worlds Productions is coming in to Portland today to do a thing at Dante's. The Ground Zero Lounge that we've been doing, you know, since I've been off the air and everything has been really a big hit. We were on Penn & Teller last year, and ever since the Penn & Teller show, people have been inquiring about whether or not we're going to take the show on the road or what have you. And all it is me just standing around ranting about conspiracy theories. But the History Channel is coming out, and they want me to do a show about how we faked the moon landing back in 1969. And you call that my free bird. I kind of want to run away, but it seems like it always comes back to haunt me and bite me like the chupacabra does. I mean, I just can't avoid
it. I'm not saying you don't believe it, but it... I mean, it's... I don't suppose it'll hurt to say that. I mean, you,
I have my doubts, yes.
I'm just saying it, but I'm just saying you, I think you were sort of, at one point you were kind of burned out on talking about the moon landing.
Yes, I was.
How do I put this? You were just, Clyde said to me when he's like, God damn, I never want to talk about the moon landing hoax ever again.
I don't.
These people, they won't leave me alone. The pinheads with their stupid, you know, and so then I get the flyer from you and it's like, come see Clyde Lewis, talk about the moon landing. And it's like you're with a big smile on your face giving the thumbs up like, hey, you know, come on out. And it's like I'm sitting there going, oh God, he hates it. He hates it all.
Oh,
you know, it's,
yeah,
well. The moon landing is sort of like, is sort of the dynamite to your J.J. Walker.
Pretty much. You know, I mean, it's like...
Come on, say dynamite!
Dynamite!
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
It's my dynamite. Yeah, exactly. But it's going to be fun tonight. We're going to have a lot of fun with it, as much as I hate talking about it. But we're going to have...
That's the spirit. There you go.
Like, what's really going to suck is...
That's what's going to make for a fantastic show right there.
I'm supposed to have an interview today with them, an off-camera, actually off-stage interview.
Like a pre-interview?
Like a pre-interview. And they're all asking me these questions like, well, what proof do you have? And I've been, like, grilled by scientists and all kinds of people about it. And people, you don't really believe that, do you? And I go, you know what, though? Take a look at this, okay? Who was it? Von Braun. You know, Wernher von Braun, the guy that, the Nazi that came over,
here we
was
go.
A part of our space program.
Okay.
You know, Sieg Heil.
It is so good to have Clyde here. Let him go.
Boy, I missed this.
Okay, so the Nazi, you know, Wernher von Braun, we are going to go to the moon. Mein Führer, we can walk. What?
You, when you were doing that, he totally looks like the guy from Indiana Jones with the drinking contest with the evil Nazi guy with the burned hand.
Oh, do I look like him? I look like
Tote?
I look like Tote? That's scary.
Okay. I know you will. I know you will.
Would
anyway,
you like to
I'm
see
giving
what
her the chill.
I am used to? You Americans, you're always dressing up for the wrong occasions.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Good times.
So, that time is past.
It's past.
Okay. That's the burned hand.
Good times.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
Nazis.
Okay, the Nazis. Wernher von Braun comes over here and he says, oh, by the way, he says, you know, this is back in 1959, 1960. He says, it's impossible for man to go to the moon because there has to be a rocket built that's huge and big enough to sustain the payload and sustain bringing man out there and to get through the Van Allen radiation belts that are covering this planet. And so then, what is it, 10 years down the road, Kennedy goes, we're going to go to the moon and this, that, the other thing, and that kind of thing. You know, he says that. And everybody's like, cool, we're going to go to the moon. And von Braun still says, we can't go to the moon. And then now, George W. Bush says, it's going to take us 15 years to construct a rocket and go to the moon. How is this so hard to do when
we did it like 40 years ago?
Yeah, we did it six times without any problems.
Now, here's
I don't get it.
Okay. Here's
I mean,
it really has been too long since we've had you back in the studio. You over the phone, don't get me wrong, we love having you on, but you on the phone is just not the same thing.
No, it doesn't work.
It lacks a certain panache.
Nah.
Let me just say this. I'm not... Listen to me now. I'm not saying we didn't go to the moon.
Sure you are.
I'm not. Son of a bitch. I'm not saying that.
Have you seen the Red Bull commercial?
No. Just let me get through this. I'm not... Damn you. I'm not saying as such that we didn't go to the moon, per se.
Sure.
All I'm saying is that, it, exposure to you, it is, like, your sort of belief and cynicism about things is sort of, it is airborne.
Yeah.
It is communicated through person-to-person contact. And so now I have spent enough time with you. That now I'm just not sure, and I swear to God, that if it came out tomorrow that we didn't go to the moon, like, I don't think I'd be all that surprised. Like,
no.
if I found a document, tomorrow they released some crap that said, like, moon landing faked, government lies to citizens for 37 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know that it would surprise me all that much because you've succeeded in planting so many seeds of doubt in my head.
Well, it has to be done because, you know, a lot of people, in fact, Dr. Larry Johns, who does the show with me at Dante's. He's a doctorate in theology. He's a Pulitzer Prize nominated poet. He's, you know, he's got all these credentials, right? And so I talked to him about not landing on the moon, and he's listening to me. He's going, And then the other day we went to McMinnville, the UFO festival, he and I. And we're going down the road, and he finally says, you know, Clyde, you finally done it. I don't think we landed on the moon.
See, and only you would ever just work that phrase. And so anyway, we're on the road to the UFO festival, and the... You know, it's just, like, things come out of your head that it's like they fit in so smoothly in your conversation, and they would just be jarringly out of place So there we were cutting up a human spine, and he says to me, you know,
that's
and
exactly
it's like just crap that wouldn't make it, it would just be so horrifying and unnerving.
Well, it was really odd because when I was at the UFO festival.
So we were pickling a fetus. Just stuff that, like, you can say, and it just totally works in with whatever's on either side of it.
I was at the UFO festival, and I ran into Peter Davenport, who's the head of the National UFO Reporting Center, and he's sitting there talking about his appearances on Coast to Coast AM, and he's talking with all these people about little gray men coming out of the UFOs. So I walk up to him, and I say, so, Mr. Davenport, I'm Clyde Lewis. He goes, hi, Clyde, how you doing? He shakes my hand. He remembers me because I interviewed him on the show. He says, so tell me, are UFOs a threat to national security? He says, you're damn right they are. And he's like, starts going nuts, and all these people are getting scared. And I said, give me a reason why you think they're a threat to national security. And he and I started talking about an abduction case, a guy by the name of James Reese, who was taken up into a UFO, and then his body parts were like strewn all over the countryside. And here are all these people with their kids standing in the
eating
theater,
eating a snow cone,
while we're talking about a body that's being
don't
ripped
touch the scary man!
ripped to pieces, and the body is strewn all across the country.
Mommy, I want to go! I don't want to be anymore! You're sucking up bodies!
And then last night, when the rain came, I was walking outside, I heard the thunder and lightning, I walked outside, and then the rain came. Walked outside, and there's this guy named Justin, who's this, like, this real hippie, like, surfer dude who lives in my neighborhood.
And you scattered his body?
And, no, I walked outside to take a look at the rain, and all of a sudden, big pelts of hail come down. And so I go to coffee at the Ross Island Grocery this morning, and Heather, who rooms with this guy, says, you know, Clyde, you scared the hell out of Justin last night. I go, why? He says, because you walked up, and as soon as you walked up, lightning hit, and then all the hail and the rain came down. And he came home and says, wow, that Clyde dude, man, he's scary. He walked outside, it just started raining.
I think you should carry a little tape recorder in your pocket and just play the Omen theme.
Oh, I think I should.
Carmina Burana, just everywhere you go, just la, 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 ha, la, 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 ha, just playing, literally, just like playing out of your pocket. How great would that be? Seriously, just stick it inside the pocket of your suit coat, and everywhere you go, just be preceded by the sounds of Wagnerian opera.
I've always wanted to have, like, an echo chamber with me every time I want to say something that's really important.
So
echo,
anyway.
Yeah. You know, echo for all kinds of stuff.
It's fantastic.
So it's kind of fun.
I don't remember what the hell I was going to say now. I got nothing. My whole thing, okay, this is the last thing I'll say about it.
Moon landing.
Okay. It's about the moon again.
It is about the moon. Okay. Because that's what he's talking about
from
tonight.
From nuts to NASA. That's what we're calling it.
Look
moon
at me
madness
trying to do
from nuts to NASA. Mooning the NASA's. Aaron.
Trying to be relevant.
Aaron Duran put together a great flyer. It was awesome. Go ahead.
My only thing is this about the moon. Mm. Again, I'm not saying we didn't go. Mm. My whole point is this. I'm looking. I just got this error message on my computer right here. And now this is Windows. It's not XP, but it is Windows 2000.
Right.
So it is only 6 years old.
Right.
I can't get my Windows 2000 computer,
right,
and, you know, to go a single day without crashing and having to be rebooted. Mm. And you know how it is. Illegal operation error X59s. Like, you don't know what the hell it means. Mm-hmm. You're always losing files. Crap gets corrupted. Things are inadvertently deleted. You're trying to go to a website that you know works, and it won't go there.
Exactly.
Now, you know that computer time or computer technology advances exponentially, meaning a computer 10 years in the future is like 100 times more powerful than it is today. So the same works in reverse, too. A computer 10 years ago was 100 times less powerful or something. But you know what I mean? Computer technology, again, it increases at a geometric rate. So I can't get this and this computer I got right here that I run, you know, we run the show with here, 30 years ago, a whole warehouse. This computer would have been the size of a barn. You know what I mean?
Right.
So computer technology has come a billion miles since the 60s. I can't get this to run one day without crashing and destroying everything.
Yeah.
They want me to believe that we went to the moon using something 35 years ago.
I found out. Guess how many K?
Come on.
Guess how many K it took to fly to the moon?
I don't know.
256K.
Okay.
That's all it took to go to the moon. The technology was that in a toaster or in a dryer. And we went 6 times without anybody dying. And that is, we had 14 astronauts by just shooting up and revolving around the Earth about, you know, in about 90 seconds.
All right.
So, I mean, it doesn't make any sense that, you know, we go 250 miles into the sky and we have 14 astronauts die. We go 250,000 miles into the sky and back. And we do it 6 times with no mishaps, no deaths, no problem. And we get it all on film. 5,000 images they took in, 4,000 some odd minutes.
Yeah, I mean...
With oven mitt hands and all these temperatures that are just out of control. Oh, it was on their belly, Clyde. No kidding. But they didn't have viewfinders. How did they get such perfect pictures without viewfinders on their boxes?
See, and the amazing thing is you don't even care. You don't even care about this subject.
No,
that's
I
how
don't.
Good you are.
I don't care about this at all, because you know why? Because if we didn't go to the moon, it doesn't matter to me anyway.
Because listen to the showmanship,
it
though.
It just doesn't.
Something that I know you would, just with everything in you, you're tired of talking about this?
Yes.
Listen to the presentation. That's professionalism.
And you know,
right
and there. I was worried that I wasn't going to do well on the History Channel, and I think I'm going to be fine now. I'm all fired up, because I just forgot just how much I don't like this subject. And how much I just love to just rip it to shreds.
All
it's
right.
liberating. In fact, Dr. Larry Johns told me, he says, Clyde, it gives me freedom to know that we didn't land on the moon. I'm yeah. liberated now. And I hope everybody else is too.
All right. You've got to be careful, though. Are you going to be at a state fair someday in a booth? You know, you're going to be like Dana Carvey sitting there in a booth going, isn't that special? Can I have my money? You know, just totally. Don't call me Sulu. That's going to be, you know, that's yeah. your future.
Moon landing.
Rick, this email says, ask Clyde about, see here, and so it begins. Ask Clyde about the mass UFO sighting over Portland a couple weeks ago.
Oh, my God. Yes, I heard about this. There were like three or four UFOs that were sighted over Portland. They were moving across the sky. I talked to Peter Davenport about this. And apparently Davenport said they kept this quiet for some reason. And we're still trying to figure out why. But, yes, there was a mass UFO sighting over Portland.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What is the likelihood that aliens are just really stupid? Because it seems like we're right here. If they want to come down and say, hey... We're right here. We're always around.
Well, okay,
we're,
look, here's the reason why they
don't
say,
ever
hey.
Come during the day,
do you
for
ever,
one thing.
Do you ever come and stoop down and talk to ants? Do you ever sit there and try to educate cattle or pigs? Do you ever just go up to a cow and say, hi, cow, how are you, cow? You just don't do that.
Are you high?
No.
Okay, but if you are high, admit that that's the funniest thing you've ever heard right there.
Hi, cow. No, you don't do that, okay? And you don't go up to a cow and say hi. You don't go up to a pig.
So you're
hi.
Saying, let me ask you this. Are you saying that cattle mutilations are the alien version of burning ants with a magnifying glass?
It could be, but okay. I don't think so. I think that cattle mutilation is a whole new thing entirely.
Okay.
I think it's done by humans, and I think it's done for black market drug sales.
Is it because you need warmth when you're on Hoth?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, let's. I just had to get it back to something else. Hi, Rick Emerson. Show, who's this?
Hey, this is Terry.
Hi, Terry. What's up?
I was wondering if you could ask Clyde why the government would actually cover up and do this in the first place. What is the point?
Oh, you're talking about the moon landing?
Yeah.
The point would be, okay, this time, if you recall, the moon landing
started...
Should I
just leave? Do I even need to be here today?
Well, I'm answering the question. The moon landing started in 1969, and the Vietnam War began in that time, and the moon landing also happened from 69 to 72, about the same time, oddly enough, as Vietnam. And so the whole purpose of the moon landing was to cover up the fact that they were putting tons and tons of money into the war effort. And so what we were doing is we were throwing this money towards this thing that united everybody. But you know what? It really didn't make that much difference, because here we are in 2006. The moon landing should have been a turning point for our lives. It wasn't. The only turning point we've had in our lives is 9/11. And they want to celebrate that day. But do we celebrate July 20th? No, we don't. Why? Because it didn't happen. That's why.
See? Look, you can just turn it on. Look at that. It's like flipping a switch. All right, there you go, Terry.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. It's five. If you have a question about
the moon landing.
If you have a call the wild card line. Wait, can you do that voice? Can you do that? Can you do it
as... Use a wild card line.
Use our phone number, but do it as Art Bell's voice guy.
From somewhere deep under the ground, you can call Rick at 503-733-2970. And now, it's... Yeah, it's Rick Emerson. That's how he sounds. He sounds like Tony the Tiger.
And then segue to some terrible, like one of the four beds that Art Bell would recycle every night. Dreamweaver.
It's ABBA that he plays,
Totally.
Waterloo.
Okay, you'll know this, Clyde. You're a radio guy. We're to the top five this hour, by the way, and these are songs you probably played.
Okay.
Well, let me ask you this. What is that terrible music bed that I hear on every... bad talk radio program? Like, it's on all those terrible, like, political and the hack, you know, full service stations, and it's that bed. It sounds kind of like Careless Whisper by Wham, but it's not that. It's, what is the melody? I'm gonna sing it for you here. It's a saxophone, I believe, some sort of wind instrument,
right.
and it goes
Baker Street by Jerry Rafferty.
That's the worst song I've ever heard in my life.
I used to like that song until they played the hell out of it.
That is the single worst song in the history of the world, and it's the one used by every talk radio station everywhere as a bed. Everywhere!
And the guy who sings is the same guy that's saying Stuck in the Middle with You that has great mind of razors cutting off ears. Remember that song?
What? What? This made no sense.
No, Stuck in the Middle with You by Steeler's Wheel, a song by Jerry Rafferty.
Oh, okay.
And it's the same song that they did in...
I didn't even know there were lyrics. It's just because every bad,
Reservoir Dogs, where they cut off that guy's ear.
Yeah, every terrible, like, local political show, they use that bed. Oh. Someday I'm going to use top five overused beds on a bland talk radio program. It's the worst.
Do that.
All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, this is Scott.
Hi, Scott. How can I help you?
I wanted to ask Clyde if he'd ever seen the Loose Change 9/11 documentary.
Yes, I have. And what's really interesting about that Loose Change documentary is that for the longest time in the 9/11 movement, I have been the bane of the 9/11 movement because I have said that a plane did hit the Pentagon. And I really, really get irritated because I tell people that it was disinformation put out by the French. They did it. They did it to piss us off because we were saying how bad they were. So they put out this information saying the plane didn't hit the Pentagon. And now all these people believe it as if it is gospel. And Loose Change is getting a lot of loose change off of this story. And they just released video, which didn't give us anything to go on.
Well, no, because the stupid, even I know about this, because the stupid camera... The camera takes a picture. There's a tinfoil hat brigade. And then the Pentagon was hit by a missile. The camera takes a picture every half a second.
Right.
The plane moves four times its own length every second. That's how fast it was going. So these idiots were like, the camera's going to give us the truth. The camera's not going to show you anything. The camera's not going to show you crap.
Well, and they point to the fact that there's a hole in the Pentagon that's 20 feet wide. Yeah. I decided to find out how wide a 757 is. Damn, if it wasn't 16 feet.
Yeah, I mean, there's...
I mean, it just... I don't know why they think that a plane didn't hit the Pentagon. There are pictures...
What about the wingspan, though, Clyde?
And that's another thing that I'm trying to figure out. I think the wings... There are pictures of wings that did hit the side panels, and there are pictures available. And right now, Sadie and I are working on an article called 9/11. And what that is it's the lemon story that we're being fed about this. A plane did hit the Pentagon. If you can explain to me where they put the bodies, if you can give me a good explanation as to where they put those bodies that were killed in that accident or who or what happened to those people, then I could believe it. But at the moment, I just don't buy that story.
Yeah,
it's the only
this,
conspiracy theory that I don't buy into.
I read there was some idiot website I saw where they think that all the people on the plane that hit the Pentagon were like taken and put on a ship somewhere and they're like living.
Well, and there's also a good theory too, Scott, just to bring it home, is that the plane went over the Pentagon and landed at Ronald Reagan, and then they escorted them out, and then they got rid of the plane.
Yes, that makes complete sense.
I mean, I don't know why. I don't know. We got to find out the motive as to why they wouldn't put a plane into the Pentagon, see? And I don't see any motive as to not.
It's because the people are lunatics.
Scott, we'll talk about it at Dante's tonight. I'd love to talk to you, though.
Yeah. All right, so Rick Emerson Show. Back up, we're here with Clyde Lewis, 503-733-2970. Coming up, CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy, for whom we have a new theme. He'll be talking about digging for Jimmy Hoffa's bones.
They can't find Osama bin Laden, but they sure as hell can find Jimmy Hoffa. What kind of crap is that?
All right. What else? Da Vinci Code, all that crap. Top five songs from May 18th, 1980. Later on, Peter Carlin with Sopranos recap. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland on AM 970, Solid State Radio. You stay right there. Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. Clyde Lewis back with us here in just a moment. We got Tim Riley, also Ed McCarthy, CNN radio correspondent from Atlanta. The city of something. Coming up, top five as well. Top five songs from this week in 1980. Peter Carlin, TV critic from the Oregonian, rather, is going to be here to talk about The Sopranos next hour. We'll have The Week in Geek. And a big pile of news featuring the phrase, onlookers were splattered in blood. 503-733-2970. We're also going to talk about Horns Across the Willamette, which is the best idea ever. Ever. All it needs is a song. Because, you know, we had that whole... And I forget whose idea it originally was. Was it mine? Whose idea was it originally?
It was yours. It was definitely
Let's
yours.
Let's say it was mine.
Yep.
Horns Across the Willamette, because there was the whole...
I picture some, like, South Park kind of tribute song for Horns Across
the Willamette. Horns Across the Willamette.
Totally.
Hey, I hear Super Digital calling our name. Think of that. What a brilliant cross-promotion.
Sure.
Super Digital, blah da da blah, Horns Across the Willamette, bada bing, bada boom.
It's genius.
All we can unveil the song at the Horns Across the... Come on.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's genius.
You're like my mom dropping me off for school. You're just embarrassing sometimes.
The hell is that? Where's your station pride? Why is that embarrassing? I mean, apart from the obvious.
Yeah.
Oh, like you? Come on, you're the one who you've been involved in the show for long enough. What? How could I possibly embarrass you? You know, it hasn't been done already. You know what I mean? And like, in what way could I embarrass you that you haven't already been embarrassed?
Singing in the middle of the Hawthorne
Well, no,
Bridge.
You won't. No, we'll play it. No, we won't. Okay. No, we're gonna perform it U2 style.
Okay, can you
we
sing?
Totally should. And
oh,
then, and then the man can come
no.
and close us down. The man can come and bust our music. Because the man fears the power of rock. Horns across the Willamette. Oh, we should do it as like a Toby Keith kind of a thing. Okay, note to self. Well, we should tell people
can
what
we
we're talking about.
We're talking about this so Ed McCarthy wants to call back sometime.
We will get Ed McCarthy in like 10 seconds. But we should tell you, so we are now 2 weeks, one day away from 6606. June 6th, 2006. And so what we are because someone, that is me, came up with the brilliant idea of Horns Across the Willamette, which is like Hands Across America, but not lame. And so what we're going to do is we're going to try to... See, here's the thing is we need to figure out how many people it takes to span the Hawthorne Bridge. Anybody know offhand?
Figure out the length of the bridge.
All right. And then we got to figure out how wide the average person is. They have a little space.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Their girth.
It depends on what part of the city you're coming from.
Are these legal or illegal residents that we're asking for? Well, anybody.
I don't care. Doesn't matter to me. So we got to get enough people to span the Hawthorne Bridge on Tuesday the 6th at 6:06. And then everybody at 6:06 p.m., big devil horns. Then we get a picture of it. It's going to be fantastic. Best thing ever. All right, we'll talk more about it.
I have a feeling all the news helicopters are going to be cruising over that area on that
We should try to get Channel 6 to cover it. See, we'll just man a whole thing, just endlessly string it all together.
Are they allowed to fly that helicopter?
Oh, I've flown in the helicopter.
Yeah, it's going to be good times. All right. Horns cross, there we land.
Yeah, we'll just have to whore it. And like you can wear a 9 and Tim can wear a 7, I'll wear a 0.
Genius.
Yeah.
All right, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, the newly themed Ed McCarthy. Joining us now from Atlanta, the city of... What is Atlanta the city of, Ed?
Well, right now it's the city of terror on the highways.
Okay. Listen, now you're all jolly about it. It's the city of death, Rick.
That's funny, I know.
No,
we laugh at it every day to cut the stress level.
Isn't Atlanta the city of something, though? Isn't it the city of... No, that's not brotherly love. It's
brotherly
the,
peaches.
I it's the city of something... Portland's the city of roses. Never mind.
What is Atlanta? They say the city that they have a new slogan now. Every day should be opening day or something is their slogan now.
That's a dumb slogan, Ed. Let's never use that again.
That's what everybody else thinks too, I guess.
Well, all right, moving on.
Whoever thought of it got paid, though, you know?
Well, there's a couple things. So, there's a couple things to talk about. First of all, this... We talked to you about The Da Vinci Code on Friday, and you said you thought it was a decent film, and apparently a lot of people agreed. It brought in $77 million domestic. Second largest worldwide debut.
A lot of money. And the thing that I thought was kind of ironic about the thing, you know, the big Catholic buzz over the film.
Yeah.
The two countries, obviously heavily Roman Catholic, Spain and Italy, they brought in the most.
Well, and you think the Catholic Church would understand at some point? You think any of these Christian protesters would get it to a certain point that you just don't talk about it if you don't want people to see it? They never learn, ever, ever, ever.
Once the controversy starts, there they are, you know. People are going to be lining up to get in.
It's so predictable. That's what we need. We need some Christians to pick at this show. This mayor in New Orleans, so everybody thought that he was going to get blown out in the election, but he got reelected. And was it by a sizable margin or was it close?
Oh, 52-47 percent, you know. But I got to tell you something, that he is... 52-48, I should say, but he really is very resilient. Nagin is amazing because when they had the primary, and I was down there for that, well, he got 38% of the vote then, and everybody else had been writing his epitaph. I mean, he really has come a long way. This guy is not a politician, but, you know, I'll tell you what, he likes to be mayor.
Is it true?
And I think he's going to do better second time around.
So is it true? Do we know if it's true or not that the DNC was trying to undermine him? That was reported by, I think Drudge reported that this weekend, but I don't know if it's been verified or shown to be true or anything. Do we know anything about that?
I don't know, but I know he was really desperately running low on funds after this last election. And right up until the primary, I mean, he was that till was dry. He was running up against Landrieu, who had, you know, had a buckets full of money. And everybody thought that Landrieu was going to win. But I think now Landrieu's going to be running for governor. He might win after going against Blanco now.
It's all so sorted. Now, the big question, of course, that everybody cares about is, any word on Jimmy Hoffa's bones?
No, not yet. We probably have another week and a half to go.
Okay, well, I'm going to nag you about it constantly because I just like to use the phrase Jimmy Hoffa's bones.
They said it was a long-term process. First, it was a couple of weeks before we'd have any news. Now it's become a long-term process. That's what the FBI is saying. So, I don't know.
All right, we'll continue to check in on that. Ladies and gentlemen, Ed McCarthy in Atlanta, the city of something. Thank you, Ed.
All right.
All right, there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, senior radio correspondent. I think Ed's high. Did you get the feeling he had maybe a pop before he went to work today? So hold on. Hi, Ed. Hey, Rick. Woo! He's all out of control. And you think that as a news person based in Atlanta, he would know what Atlanta was the city of. Apparently not so much. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Rick, wouldn't horns across the hawthorn be more apropos?
Huh?
There you go. Well, that's not bad. That does ground it solidly in Portland. What do you like, Meta? Horns across the Willamette or horns across the Hawthorn?
I kind of like horns across
No, because it's the Hawthorn. It's the bridge. I don't know.
I don't know.
Let's see. Let's turn to the loyal listener audience to come up with a theme. By the way, I'm eating a pork chop. Okay, thank you. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to your personal savior, Tim Riley, at the City Desk.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat team around the reporting. The parents of a developmentally disabled teenager have been arrested after an arson fire that killed their son. This happened in Albany. Police say 19-year-old Christopher DeGroote was home alone at the time of the fire.
Unfortunate name.
The investigation reveals his mother, 48-year-old Agnes, and 45-year-old Nicholas may be allegedly behind it. The teenager was unable to escape because he was locked inside the apartment by his parents early in the morning. They installed a deadbolt on the front door.
Jesus.
And you should see what the parents look like.
All right, this is my statement last week that 90% of people who have children should not be. Here's the thing, and you know that this is true, and even if you deny it, you dispute it, some things are true whether you agree with them or not. Not only should 90% of people really not have kids, 90% of people really ought to be sterilized. I've been a big believer for the longest time that everybody just ought to be sterilized coming right out of the womb. You know what I mean? As soon as you're born, wham, they snip those things. Now later, you want to get it reversed, you got to pass a test. You got to pass a test. You got to not be a heroin addict. You got to not be a felon. You got to not be some guy who disciplines your kids with a frying pan. Really, everybody ought to be sterilized as soon as they hit puberty, and you got to apply to have that reversed later. Look at these people. Sarah, did you see this? Look at this. Look at this couple. Is that posted on your site?
No, not yet.
Okay, but that will eventually be posted at timrileymedia.com.
Yeah.
Some people, you can just tell by looking at them that they shouldn't be breeding. Look at how crazy they are.
But why would they let them live for 19 years then before trying to kill them off? I mean, they've done all the work.
I don't know. It would be wrong of me to speculate.
That's a speculation.
There have been cases similar to this in other places where it was a lot of getting those SSI checks from the state every month. Not that that's the case here. I'm simply observing that there have been other cases in the country unrelated to this case where that was, in fact. And she's a bug-eyed freak is what she is. Yeah. Sometimes you could just look at two people and you can tell that anything that comes out of them is doomed to have a bad life. All right, there you go. There's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, a Tampa lawyer is suing a sandwich shop for sending daily specials by fax. Attorney William Ensbury said he got tired of unsolicited faxes from the eatery's menu and decided to do something about it. He has squared off in small claims court against Twin Luncheon Restaurant, which is outside of Tampa. Oh, this is from Florida. I'm sorry.
Oh, damn. I was unprepared for any such news.
He sued the restaurant in February using a law designed to punish those who engage in so-called fax blasting. He's seeking $5,000 to $15,000 in damage. Managers at the restaurant said his office number was randomly and accidentally entered into the fax machine's speed dial. Well, as Mexico presses the U.S. to grant unrestricted citizenship to millions of undocumented migrants, its officials at times are calling U.S. policies, well, nasty names. Mexico places daunting limitations on anyone born outside its territory. In the U.S., only two posts, the presidency and vice presidency, are reserved for the native-born. In Mexico, non-natives are banned from those and thousands of other jobs, even if they are legal naturalized citizens. Foreign-born Mexicans can't hold seats in either house of Congress. They have a Congress, apparently. what do these people do?
They have chairs and televisions, too.
They're also bad from state legislators.
No,
whatever they do.
No, I'm not going to dwell on the immigration issue, but it is worth noting that if you are not a Mexican citizen, you try to get a job there, they tell you to go pound sand. Hey, why don't you go sneak into France and then demand a job and health care. See how long your ass stays there before they just stick you back in a boat and send you here. All right. Should we do this? Let me see. Which penis watch is this? Oh, yeah, that's just the worst story, too. It's just the most horrifying story. Let's do this so we don't get behind, Tim. Let's go ahead and break here.
Uh-huh.
And Sarah, I'm going to go into the break. I have a little thing we're going to. I'm going to play the Weekend Geek from over here.
Okay.
We'll just play that into the break, and then we'll come back. Little Clyde, little Top Five, little News Desk, little Peter Carlin, etc.
That sounds acceptable.
503-733-2. 970 503-733-2970. So we will be back momentarily, ladies and gentlemen. Let's clear the decks for Aaron Duran, Geek in the City, with this, the Rick Emerson Week in Geek.
And now, the Rick Emerson Show presents the Week in Geek.
Hi, Aaron Duran here with GeekInTheCity.com, and this is the Week in Geek. Hollywood can thank Tom Hanks and Jesus' wife for providing them with the second biggest worldwide film debut of all time, as The Da Vinci Code clocks in worldwide at a little over $260 million. Only Star Wars, The Revenge of the Sith, can claim higher numbers, as well it should. Since I'm talking about the Force, all my fellow Mac users can now turn their motion-sensitive iBooks into lightsabers when they install MacSaber 1.0. No word yet if Jedi Combat is covered in the warranty. And for all you PC-using folks, yeah, you get nothing, so too bad. Finally, on May 27th and 28th, the Baghdad Theater will be showing the classic 1926 silent film, Faust, along with live orchestral accompaniment by Italy's Gatto Marte Quartet. Tickets are $20 at the door, 21 and over. I'm Aaron Duran of GeekInTheCity.com, and this has been The Week in Geek.
The Week in Geek. Only from The Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio.